This is part two of two parts of an extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org. We had recited the definition of God from chapter 14, which is entitled Recapitulation Chapter, which, of course, is a summary of everything preceding it, which is the first 13 chapters. So let's recite other definitions of God, and let's go to the glossary, which is chapter 17, and look on page 587, and it has the following definition. Now here, it doesn't say what is, it just, like any dictionary, it just states the word and then it gives the definition. So under the word of God, it says the following. The great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. On the same page is a definition of good. God with an extra O in it. G-O-O-D. In some languages, that's what they use for the term of God. In some languages, they use the word mind. From the glossary, under the word good. God. Spirit. Omnipotence. Omniscience. Omnipresence. Omniaction. Omniscience refers to omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. But just saying the word God as the first word to define good, she's automatically including everything in the entire textbook where she refers to God. But the rest of it is just pointing out and amplifying and emphasizing certain other words which are obviously included in God itself. Think about action. Boy, is that a powerful one. Omni-action. If God is the only action, could there ever be chaos that is titled an accident? Could there ever be a storm that is obviously chaos? Because the definition of God includes the word principle. Let me just give you a quick couple of words about each one of the seven terms that she uses for God. Mind is anything to do with thinking. Anything at all. Our faculties are a result of thinking. We have to think to move our arm. It may be involuntary, it may be automatic, but we're actually thinking about moving our arm. We give the instruction to our body to move. We give our instruction to the body to walk, run, jump, turn around, go backwards, blink an eye. One individual that's the son of a lovely woman that started an organization about Christian Science that we're friends with. They have some very important things on their website. He said to think about your body as an office boy. Now, he's of a prior era where it wasn't a secretary, but it was a man, and the females, with rare exceptions, stayed home and raised a family. But he says, think of it as an office boy. You tell us to go here and do this and go there and do that, or sit down and write a letter or make a phone call or whatever you do. That is what our body is. It is supposed to be our servant. It is, we have it to serve us. We have it to serve our needs, to carry our whatever project we're on. That's the way we have to think about it. Don't ever think about your body controlling you. Oh, I've got a pain here. Oh, I'm hungry. I want to eat. What do I hear? What is my ear telling me? We've got to go the other way around. We are the king. The body is our servant. And of course, we being the king means that we are reflecting the qualities of God, and God is really the king. So we don't want our body to get any instruction from us that is not godlike. Everything has to be godlike, or we nullify having any authority to do anything. Because the only authority, the only real mind, the only real intelligence, the only action is from God. From God. And the more clear we are on that, the more we will be living a life of principle, which is structure, and the system of mind, and the harmony and balance of a good structure. So mind is anything to do with thinking. Anything to do with substance is spirit. Because spirit is the opposite of matter, it is flawless. It is transparent, and it is reflective. Like a mirror with not a single speck on it. Total reflection of perfection. A beautiful lake with a beautiful landscape all around it. Breathtaking. The Indians called it the smile of the Great Spirit. That'll give you a clue as to what spirit is all about. We need to see the beautiful lake and the beautiful landscape everywhere we look. Nothing less than godlike. Jesus did not look at anything and see something less than godlike. He saw Lazarus that was sleeping, not dead. Mary and Martha thought their brother Lazarus was dead. And he said to them, Jesus did, loose him and let him go. Are we putting a restriction on anyone? Are we labeling them dead when they're an idea of God? Their mortal self that appears to a mortal thought, that's not the Son of God. That's not the man of God. That's not the one we're referring to. We're referring to the real one that is not visible. That's the one we have to use as our image. In chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 26 and 7, it says, and God said, let us make man after our image and likeness. And verse 27 says, and so God made man after our image and likeness. Mary Baker Eddy translates that to mean us being life, truth, and love, with a capital L, capital T, and another capital L for life, truth, and love. And capitalization with Mary Baker Eddy is a new language. If she capitalized it, except for the first word, and then you have to look deeper, but if she capitalizes a word that is not the first word of the sentence, it is always referring to God. So there's two different kinds of life, truth, love, and mind, spirit, soul, principle, with or without the first letter being capitalized. If it's not capitalized, then it is talking about the relative, as was discussed in part one. when we were talking about all in all. The first all being a capital A, that is the absolute, and that means God. And the second all is a lowercase a, and that means the manifestation of God. And you can't break the connection between the source and the manifestation, because they would both lose their identity. What would God be a God of if it did not have a source? What would a painter, a carpenter, a musician, anyone, a homemaker, a ditch digger, anyone at all, the president of a company, or the janitor of a company? The janitor of a company has his manifestation by having everything clean and orderly that he took care of. The same with the superintendent of a school. He wouldn't be a superintendent if he didn't have a school. A musician is not a musician unless they have performed a composition. You cannot disconnect the source from the manifestation. Therefore, can we be disconnected from God? We are God's manifestation. Not only are we His manifestation, but in Genesis it tells us that God gave dominion to man over everything, over what's under the earth, above the earth, the fowl of the air, everything in the water. Total. Do we deserve it? Are we reflecting God in everything we think, say, and do? Then we deserve it. We will have control over everything in our lives because God gave us dominion. But it only works if we are reflecting the power and the qualities of God. And of course, the power comes automatically. Mary Baker Eddy tells us the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. We have unlimited power if we have unlimited things that we are accomplishing. We never run out of power. It's always there. It's with every quality of God. The power of God comes automatically with every quality. Whatever we're going to reflect, we can experience the power with that quality. So we've covered the definition of God on page 465 in part 1. The definition of God on page 587, and the definition of good. And we've talked about the definition of man from Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Now, what does Mary Baker Eddy say about man? She has the definition of man in the glossary, page 587. No, I'm sorry, 591. 591, I believe it is. Okay? She says that man is the compound idea. There's that word compound. We covered that in part 1. Compound idea of what? Of matter? No. Of something finite? No. So what is man the compound idea of? Remember what substance is. We said substance was spirit. So the first thing that she tells us is, what is the substance of man? Man is the compound idea of infinite spirit. So what does that make him? The spiritual. If you're an idea of spirit, then that, therefore you're spiritual. Man is the spiritual image and likeness of God. And where do we begin when we think about God? Remember the first definition of God? The first synonymous term is what? What turns on the light? What generates the idea? Mind. Even in cartoons, they will have a little caption above somebody that has a new bright idea in the cartoon. They're thinking. In fact, it might even show a light bulb I've seen that in cartoons. So, man is the full expression of mind. Because God gave man dominion, so he's going to be the full expression of everything. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Are we acting like it? Do you know what life is? Life is living the qualities of God. So I've told you about mind and spirit and principle and life. And what did we leave out? Soul. Soul is the third one. It's mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. How do you identify things? Do you have any eyes? Do you have any vision? Do you have any ears? Can you hear anything? Can you feel anything? Can you smell anything? Can you taste anything? That's the last thing we do. It should pass the vision, the hearing, the feeling, and the smell test. And then if everything says this is perfect, this is all reflecting the qualities of God, then we do the taste. We take a little bite of it. Like it says in Isaiah, here a little, there a little. Take a little bite of it. How does it taste? In fact, with wine, if somebody drinks wine, which is giving power to a liquid, before they taste it, they smell it. You know, this smells good. I like to smell onions that are cooking. That is a wonderful aroma. I like to smell a rose, honeysuckle. Any fragrant flower is lovely to smell. We don't eat them, but we use the sense of smell. We see it and it's beautiful, like bougainvillea. Wow, beautiful bougainvillea. Are we listening for God's messages that come to us in angel thoughts? That'll help us understand what we're seeing. In fact, that's one of the primary definitions of hearing, is understanding, feeling. We may be considering an investment, and we look at the numbers. They look good. We listen to what somebody tells us, and that's the wrong way to get information. We should listen to the numbers. What are the numbers telling us? Do we have a good feeling about this? Boy, we're going to get rich in 3 weeks. That's the wrong feeling. That's greed. They say that when people make an investment, that bulls make money. In other words, you buy expecting the price to go up. Bears make money, which meaning you're expecting the price to go down, so you sell before it goes down. But it's pigs, they lose everything. Pigs. They're not considering a little bit here and a little bit there. They want it all now. Greed. Greed. People that gamble. The gambling house counts on the individual being greedy and egotistical and not humble. And so he will gamble and maybe make a big winning. And then he says, wow, I've made this much. I'm going to go more. And boy, just look how many more dollars or hundreds of thousands or whatever dimension they're in. Then I'm going to get better, get more. Then he loses it all. Because he won't stop. He can't believe he's losing, so he keeps saying, oh, well, the next gamble is going to be a big winner for me. And he goes all the way down to zero, giving not only his winnings back, but his original capital. The President of the United States wrote the book, Art of the Deal. In it, he explains that if you focus on money, You're going to lose. You are going to lose. You can't focus on money when you're going into investments. His investment was real estate and golf courses. Well, that's real estate. The most luxury hotels and shopping facilities within the hotel and golf courses, premium, all around the world. And when they do a rating of them and they have the actual patrons, the patriots, you know, the patrons that are staying there and utilizing the facilities, let them vote. He's always number one. He's always number one in every property. Because what does he do? He does the second rule of effective healing. Our whole home page right now is on effective healing. The second rule is he gives. He gives to everyone. He gives the finest quality that there is anywhere. He strives for perfection. And he gives them a fair price based on the quality that he's giving. Absolute, 100% perfect customer service. If there's anything that's not right, you let us know and we will take care of it. Immediately, yesterday, before you even mention it. Like Sam Walton. Sam Walton built Walmart, the biggest retail organization in the world, based on what? Giving. He gave a fair price for what he was selling, and he gave 100% customer satisfaction. Bring anything back, anytime, for any reason, and you get your money back. They can't do that anymore because the population got too greedy. They would keep a computer for 3 or 4 years. And each year, you know, they were coming out with new computers at a lower price. They would finally get the price down so low that the guy couldn't, that had bought one 3 or 4 years before, he just couldn't resist being greedy and dishonest. So he would take the old computer back, get his money back, and buy a new one for half the price. So they had to stop. Sam Walton was honest. But after he left, everybody was so greedy that they had to change the policy. And what does that reflect on? The lack of integrity of the buyer, not of Walmart. Walmart had to do the intelligent thing. They had to stop the greed. They had to stop the dishonesty. So they had to stop the 100% customer satisfaction whenever you wanted to do it. They will still give it to you, but it's a very short time period. With electronics, I think it's like 7 days. Are we cultivating a life of giving? We cannot heal if we don't. What is the title to this prayer treatment? And what does it mean? It starts off with the number zero. Now, what does zero mean? Because it's followed by the word God. It means it is the top title to everything that follows. It is not mind, which is the first synonymous term for God. It's not spirit, which is the second one, or the third one, which is soul, or the fourth one, which is principle, or the fifth one, which is life. And we've covered what that means. That's living the qualities of God. It's not number six, which is truth. And it's not number seven, which is love. It is zero. It's above all of them. The 10 digits begin with zero. It has a different meaning in mathematics than it does here. Here it means it includes everything. It includes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So that's why it starts with zero, because we intend to discuss all of the 7 synonymous terms for God. And then after zero and God, it says day or death. Which one to choose? What do you think ought to be chosen between day or death? This is how Mary Baker Eddy defines day. And this is from the glossary. This is from page 584. It says day, the irradiance of life, light, the spiritual idea of truth and love. You remember what Jesus asked, how Jesus responded to the king that was going to have him crucified, Herod? Jesus apparently said something about truth, and the king says, what is truth? What was Jesus' response? Silence. He knew that no matter what he said, they were going to hang him. Jesus didn't have a single supporter at the trial. I don't believe there's any record of even John being there. John came to the crucifixion, and he was obviously at the ascension. I don't believe a single disciple was at the trial. So what is truth? He wouldn't answer it, because he knew that whatever he said, it would not be understood. The very first quote at the beginning of the textbook, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That is a huge clue as to why we include the word day and death in the title. Let me give you the rest of the title of day. This is again from the glossary, page 584. So to repeat, the first part is the irradiance of life, light, the spiritual idea of truth and love. Quote, and the evening and the morning were the first day. That's from Genesis 1, verse 5. The objects of time and sense disappear in the illumination of spiritual understanding, and mind measures time according to the good that is unfolded. This unfolding is God's day, and there shall be no night there. Does that give us a clue as to why the title is what it is? The title again says, day or death. Which one to choose? What would you say if I say we should choose both of them? Remember what Jesus, how he responded to Herod when he asked, what is truth? When Herod asked him, what is truth? He was silent. Why was he silent? Because they would have rejected what he said no matter what he said. In fact, Jesus is famous for his saying to answer someone yea, yea, and nay, nay, and not argue with them. So what does that have to do with us saying that we should choose both day and death? We know what day is. I read the definition. Boy, it's all bright and sunshine. Irradiance of light. Wow. The most beautiful sun that rises in the morning after a big rain during the night. Wow. It's so nice and warm and cozy when you feel that wonderful sun. Sun, S-U-N, refers to a fresh idea. The irradiance of life. A fresh idea. A fresh idea, and you're going to give it life. The idea is from mind. So why do you want death? We all want death. What do we relate it to? We relate death to the death of evil, the death of the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter, the death of domination by mortal mind, and the irradiance of immortal mind, the death of depravity, everything we've outgrown, the death of it, we leave it behind. We want the death of everything we have outgrown. In other words, we want it to have no occupancy in our thought. We have elevated above it. We have transitioned from a lower realm of thinking to a higher realm, to a lesser amount of understanding to a greater amount. A little bit here, a little bit there. We are compounding the good. We are listening to what the qualities of God are telling us. That's what hearing is all about. When Mary Baker Eddy says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer," what could she possibly mean? God doesn't have any ears. Genesis 1 ends by saying, "And everything God made is very good, and his work is finished, and therefore he rested on the seventh day." It's all done. The Bible also says there's nothing new under the sun. Habakkuk tells us that that God's eyes are too pure to behold evil. That means the only action that can take place, the only life that there can be, the only love there can be, the only mind, spirit, soul, and principle there can be, is the unfettered perfection of God. God is first, now, and always. There's no time. It says, the Bible says, the end begins, or the beginning begins at the end. The end is at the beginning. The end is at the beginning. So, let me say a little bit about truth. We talked about the other five, or five of them. This is number six. So we're going to live a life of qualities of God. What's the next thing we have to be careful about? Staying on track. We have to keep on the path of truth, the path that leads to a next level. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. Infinite progression. No backsliding. People that make investments, they want to get it all today. I'm not recommending gambling, but the same with gamblers. They want it all now. Maybe if you're having your first garden of vegetables and so forth, the first time you plant it, oh wow, you want it to be all done. You want to pick the fruit. The Bible says we have to let the harvest grow, and we do the separation at the time of harvest. Otherwise, you will pull out the roots of the good with the bad. So don't try to pull out the roots until it's time for harvest. Everything has its right time. Here a little, there a little. Patience. Boy, you want to talk about the master of patience? That's the President of the United States. He's been working for 10 years, and he gives us so little out of what has been accomplished. He keeps 99% of it hidden. Why? Because the human brain has an ego that's big as a horse, an elephant, and the strength of a tiger or a lion. I guess an elephant has more strength. The speed of a cheetah but it wears out quick. Our ego will not accept change unless it is repetition, 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 repetition. That's why evil is operating through the media, and evil gives the same exact words for all of the people that are being a channel for evil to say the same thing. You might listen to one channel on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and listen to another one on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And for 6 days in a row, it doesn't matter who is saying it, they are all saying the exact same text, the exact words. Because they know that if they repeat it enough, then Project Mockingbird will have come to fulfillment. What is Project Mockingbird? The largest intelligence agency in the world, which is a U.S. intelligence agency, they labeled their plan 60 or 70 years ago Project Mockingbird. And their goal of Project Mockingbird is stated publicly on our website and all over the internet. If you use the right search engine, I would stay away from the one that starts with a G, because they've been proven to be very corrupt and not giving you the facts. In fact, the man that invented the programming is so fed up with Google. Oops, I didn't mean to say it. They're so fed up with the G company that he is starting all over. He's taken away from them. He's starting all over. He said they've totally abused the idea. The idea is it was supposed to be an information source that was totally unbiased and all verifiable. And it's the opposite now. It's the opposite. So we recommend START, S-T-A-R-T, like beginning and end, startpage, P-A-G-E, .com. It is private. It gives you all the information that you would get anywhere else, but it's not biased. It doesn't leave out the ones that are in disagreement with the ones that are controlling the G company. So StartPage. Use StartPage for your searching. Search for Project Mockingbird, and you will find this. In about 1960, the chairman, well, I guess he was called the director of that three-letter agency that begins with C, as in Charlie, you all know who it is, what it is. The director said, when everything the public believes to be true is false, then we know we have accomplished our goal. This is our tax dollars that are paying for them to deceive us, for them to lie to us. West Point, a military academy for the Army. It says, do not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate anybody that does. The agency, the three-letter agency that begins with C, they have training courses how to lie, cheat, and steal and not get caught. The fellow that was the number one graduate in the year that he was there of West Point was appointed by the president that we have now to be the director of the C agency. Big mistake, but anyway, that's what happened. He thought he was relying on the guy's reputation, and the guy went totally bananas. He went in there and he didn't clean house at all, because he was a part of the dirt. All they had to do was do things that weren't right, and he changed his character. So do you understand why we must choose both day and death? We choose day to live, and we choose death for anything that is unlike God. Not people. Don't think about people. Ideas, messages, characters that are unlike God. Suggestions, mortal mind suggestions. And when we say the scientific statement of being, which goes like this, there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. We can add anything else we want there. Were we in an accident, so-called, and broke our arm? Do we have a pain in our stomach? Did we hit our head on something and say, ouch? Are we nervous about something? Because we don't know what the result is going to be, and it may be really bad. So we worry about it. Put it in there. There's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in the belief of worrying. The belief of ignorance. The belief of making a mistake. Whatever. Anything ungodlike. Put it in there. We have several cases that have been reported to us where people did exactly that and they were healed. They may have had to say it 100 times. I know somebody that had a bump on their above their eye and they ignored it in the beginning and then it kept growing. And they were a lifelong Christian Scientist and they said, well, this is ridiculous. I got to do something about it. And they had a very busy schedule. They're running a very vibrant, dynamic business. And so they decided that every time they went to the restroom, no matter what it was, whether it was to brush their teeth or take a shower or use it for other purposes, that they were going to state the scientific statement of being, and they substituted, you can add to it, you don't have to substitute it, but they substituted the word matter. And they said there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in the belief of a growth above my eye. I don't know, they may have put in right eye or left eye or whatever. But that's what they said. And then all is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. The belief of a growth above my eye is mortal error. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. That's me. I am God's image and likeness. Therefore, I cannot, do not, never did have a growth above my eye. Why? Because I'm spiritual. That's the way they said the prayer. It is highly recommended that you look at the prayer and you view it with what can I change that individualizes this, where I state that there is no belief in whatever the problem is to substitute the words where it can be substituted. And where it says man, say I am. I am God's image and likeness. I am God's image and likeness. I am spiritual. I'm not material. I do not have a belief, because a belief of something defective is an incorrect view of reality. Jesus never saw somebody with a problem. He saw them perfect. How are we going to look at ourselves? If we look at ourselves in the mirror, maybe we're going to shave or brush our teeth or comb our hair or whatever, and we happen to see it, we should stop right then at what we're doing, and we should state the truth about who we are, the truth about our perfection, the truth about what God is, the truth about we are God's manifestation. What do you think would happen if there was an accident, say it was a vehicle accident, and 100 people saw it? Maybe it was in a busy part of the city, and 100 people saw it. They heard the screeching of the wheels when some car was trying to stop and somebody else was running a red light or something. And they heard the screeching noise, and then they heard the noise, bang, really a loud uncomfortable sound. And then they looked, and sure enough, right in front of them, 100 people saw it. So pretty quick, they could hear the sirens coming. Then you could hear you could see the news people coming, getting ready to interview the people that were injured or the people that were watching or whoever. What if every single person that saw that so-called accident take place would say something like this? There's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in an accident. Why? Because all is infinite mind. What is mind? Mind is the only controller, the controller of all action. Mind is perfect because the only mind there is the mind of God. Therefore, the only action is perfect action. There is no chaos in perfect action. Therefore, there is no such thing as an accident. And there's not a single individual that can be injured or damaged in any way or dead. Because God is perfect and He's in control of His manifestation. Everything that exists is a manifestation of God. And there is no discord, no chaos in God's manifestation because God cannot manifest anything unlike Himself. And God is principle, which is balance and harmony. God is love, which is protection and wholeness and completeness. How could God's manifestation be anything different? Suppose you had the conviction of what you were saying, and you were saying words like that, and you had 100 people, 99 others that saw the incident, and were saying the same thing. What do you think would be the effect on the accident? What do you think? Do you think it would be the same thing of the effect on Lazarus when Jesus said he's not dead but sleeping? Yes. It didn't matter how long he had been in the grave, how bad he smelled. He told Mary and Martha to loose him and let him go. We have to let death go. We have to claim that nothing that is unlike God has life in it. It is dead. It is done. It's over with. It never even existed in the beginning. So yes. We have to claim the irradiance of life and light, and we have to deny that there can be any power in anything that is opposed to the perfection of God. Period. There's a beautiful movie. A couple of them I'd like to mention. One of them is called Remember the Goal. The other one is Remembered Pay It Forward. We have them both on our website. You can download them from our website. They're not new. I don't know, 30, 40 years old. I think they were in the 90s, 1990s. They've been available for download on the internet for a long time, so I presume that there's no copyright or anything. If anybody notifies us that there's a copyright on it, we'll take them down. They were beautiful movies. And just think about what Remember the Goal could be about. These are not movies by Christian Scientists, but they're certainly a wholesome movie with good principles. And they do quote Bible verses, especially the one on Remember the Goal. Yeah, they quote Bible verses throughout the whole deal. You want to make sure that when you're studying, you look up every single word that is a key word, even if you think you know it. And you look up everything you don't know. And we highly recommend the Noah Webster 1828 Dictionary. That's right, 1828. 200 years ago. This is 2026. 198 years ago by Noah Webster. You can buy a republished edition of it, of the identical text. You can get it in software, and they have an online one-word lookup. You can do one word at a time. It's not as complete as the book. The software is not as complete as the book. So I recommend all three. The book is only, I think $50 or something to buy it. Oh, wow, what a treasure it is. It's a huge book. Anything you buy with the word Merriam on it, Merriam-Webster, trash it. The Merriam brothers bought the Noah Webster estate for the sole purpose of being able to change the words. So the very first edition they did, which was 1913, because Noah Webster passed on in the mid-1850s, or 1800s, I think it was around 1850. That's, if you could get that, that would be perfect, but he never published it. And I've done some research that indicated it has been published, but I've never been able to find one. But the 1828 is very easy to purchase, and they'll send it to your door. So I would have all three, but look up every word. He uses Bible quotes throughout the dictionary. The Noah Webster Dictionary. He learned something like 12 languages in addition to English and what he already knew to do the Noah Webster Dictionary. This is one dedicated man to the truth. And he also has books for school, but, nobody follows it because they've let themselves be pulled down into infamy. That's something that is a major thing that is going on because the president has already ruled out the Department of Education. It seems that we've covered the topic here pretty well, probably two times over, with all the extra things that we've been led to bring to the surface here to discuss. So let's bring this to a close and let's recite one of those precious prayers. Mary Baker Eddy gave us 7 of them. And they have the same power that the Lord's Prayer does. If we really understand them and we follow her instruction by reciting them often, we will have wonderful results. So, what has been the dominant thing here? I would say the word life. Day means irradiance of life, light. Death is the opposite of life. So let's recite the prayer which she has titled Diapason of Heaven. Diapason. Look that word up in the 1828 dictionary. I don't want to take the pleasure away from you. You will be enlightened to see what that word diapason means for her to use it in 7 specific prayers, 1 prayer for each of the 7 synonymous terms. And here is the prayer for life. Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy with a focus on life. Life is holy. We must hallow this word, for it is a sacred name for God. Declare often, there is only one life, and that is God. There is no personal life. My life is God, an infinite, incorporeal, all-encompassing, all-present, all-active, everlasting life. Declare that God, good, is the only life of man and the universe. Life is divine. divine life is my God, and my God is life. Life is enthroned in my consciousness. This is the Word of God. Declare all the truths about life. Claim this revealed life as yours. All of life is right where you are right now. Amen. Yes, a couple of thoughts did occur. One is that Mary Baker Eddy did a self-exam every hour to remind herself to only think good about everyone and everything, just like Jesus thought about everyone he healed. He saw them in their true, divine, spiritual image and likeness, not as a mortal that had a problem. The second thing is that one must be ready to accept something new in their consciousness. And if you're not ready, if you're like the fat cat that thinks everything is just fine and why change it, then you're not ready. I'm not here. The Institute is not here to work out your salvation. We have people that call us wanting us to take their case. We teach you, or we offer the tools, if you're ready to learn, and we will guide you, we will talk to you on the phone, we'll encourage you, we'll guide you in the right direction. But everyone, in the end, needs to work out their own salvation. So we cannot offer our services. We wouldn't be able to do the job of the Institute if we did that. The other thing, in addition to having the right attitude that you're ready to make a change, is to cultivate a life of giving. Look around. How can you help someone that's in need? It may be money, but it may not. Most of the big, in fact, all, I think I could safely say that every one of the large organizations that are pleading with you for money by showing you desperate-looking children are a fraud. And that's been uncovered by the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, by the man that brought us the Tesla car and rockets that go up in the air and come back and land in their own launching pad. A brilliant man who really gives to the world, because everything he does is a gift to the world. He doesn't have the greed of money in his mind, but he is a wonderful thing, expression of humanity. Think about how you can help the one sitting in a wheelchair as you exit a store, or the one holding out their hand for a donation. Whenever you see anyone in need, maybe it's a clerk that looks overworked, give her the biggest smile she's ever seen in her life. Ask her how she's doing as you pass through. Say, I hope you're doing well, because I know this job is probably very taxing on you, standing up all day and having all kinds of people. Some of them are happy, some of them are sad, some of them are angry, some of them are elated. You're doing a wonderful thing here. Now, don't say anything that's not true. Reach out with your heart in everything you think, say, and do to share, to help others with what you know, maybe a skill you can teach to somebody that's on the street. Talk to the people on the street. Why are they there? How did they get there? You're going to find some are well-educated people, and they went through a very difficult time in their life, and they gave up. Maybe they went through a divorce. Maybe there was an accident that destroyed their whole family, or whatever it is. Take a real interest in other people. Until you do that, you cannot heal. Healing is dependent on having a life of giving. Solomon didn't ask for wealth. He received wealth because he was interested in giving. He wanted to treat everyone in his kingdom fairly and judge them properly and honestly. When the Queen of Sheba came to visit him, because she said, "I've heard about your wealth." After she left and the people that were in her kingdom, they asked her, "Well, how was their trip? Is he really as wealthy as they say?" And she said, "He's more wealthy." Why do you say that? Because everyone that works for him is happy. All of his servants are happy. I've never seen servants happy before. Because he loves them. He treats them like a brother and a sister. I've never seen anything like it. When you start giving yourself anonymously, as opposed to trying to take credit for it, and letting your ego get nudge in there and interfere with the beauty of giving, then try the other way, to give without getting any credit. Our duty is to give, it's not to give and get credit. If you give, you're doing your duty. It is 8:49 in the morning, Monday, July 6, 2026. 1 day after the 250-year celebration of signing the Declaration of Independence, are we going to sign a declaration within our own thought that we're going to put a death to anything that's unlike God? I don't mean people, I'm talking about the idea, the mortal mind suggestion that it has power. That's what we need to do. And we want to give life to the new day of irradiance of spiritual ideas. Thank you for listening to this prayer treatment on the title of Zero God, Day or Death, Which One to Choose. This is part two, the final part of the prayer treatment. The end.